Blog Talk Radio.
We must lend a helping hand tonight. Who's get ready? Talk about Sunday morning with the bishop. I will say to you, that was that we lend a helping hand to him. I'm concerned this morning that we have strayed away from God. We have strayed away from our ancestors still in control. I was reading this morning in the paper, so many people being shot, black on black. I seen where we shot in Chicago. Instead of being shot because they strayed away from God, they're showing how many people that has OD'd on drugs. And the question is, straight away from the teaching of God. A lady called me this morning earlier and said, "Bitch, how come it's so hot?" King made it hot, but God came in with that when the three Hebrew boys come in the oven. The oven got to be air conditioned. God is still making things work for us. So one of the things we got to understand this morning, God is and break down the strong hope. Now, what I was saying, God is still in control of things, that we have to come together, and we still have to come together, and we have to come together to talk the word of God. You can't deviate from God. Come into oneness of God. You might need to call me at 708-582-0372. I have a message for you this morning. And I want to give you a couple of months and do an outdoor service. And that service we're going to do outdoors to go back to where it started from, and once we go back to where it started from, we can go to the next level. And I'm what I'm saying, once we go back to the next level, the God will open up doors that have been closed, and you need to know that God is able to fix it right now. And that's what I want you to know, that God's doors been closed, and you're closed. God's going to do some things for people that need help. I want you to get ready this morning for God to touch you in a special way. This morning, stop killing me. Save the babies. We're talking about men and women rendering their life to God. And praying for your and for your deliverance. Some of you have strayed away from God and strayed away from your teaching, so you have lost your way. You have to find, and God will bring back into that oneness that you need. So right now, you need a divine deliverance from God. That's what you really need.
There've been so many things that held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act. And if you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well,
don't you let nothing, nothing
stand in your way.
I want you to live from me.
Vibe. And if you're trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put ourselves together, gonna polish up our act. Well, and if you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well,
don't you let nothing, nothing
stand in your way.
I want y'all to listen, listen.
Every word I say, every word I say. No, no, no.
We're on the
move. We're moving.
Name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
From this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun,
mm-hmm,
to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised.
Amen.
The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is likened unto the Lord, our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbled himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. He praises, he raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house,
yes,
and to be joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord.
Praise ye the Lord. This morning I want to say this.
Yes.
He said that he will bring you out of the dunghill,
yes,
out of your mess, and set you in a place.
Yes.
And I want to tell you that right now, that God is uplifting us in the spite of,
yes,
the storms and the flood.
Yes.
God is getting ready to carry us to another level.
Yes.
Whatever you're going through, go through it this morning.
Yes.
Because God is a healer.
Yes.
And a deliverer.
Thank you, Lord.
And David said that he lifted me up because he's over everything.
Yes.
He looked down and picked you up where you can't get up.
Yes, Lord.
The doctor said you can't get well, but God said different. He said, I control the universe.
Yes.
And if God controls the universe today, and I want you to know that he will lift you up and carry you to a safe place.
Yes.
He will carry you to a place of rest.
Yes, Lord.
Where you won't have to deal with the day-to-day operation.
Thank you, Lord.
You won't have to deal with ups and downs because he said that I am God of Abraham and the God of Jacob.
Yes.
And I want you to know, whatever you might be going through,
yes,
get ready for a miracle breakthrough.
Yes.
Get ready for right now where you set your present state going to change in 2014, yes, 2015, 2016. Get ready for a breakthrough.
Yes.
Get ready to name your healing.
Yes.
Get ready to name your deliverer, Jesus.
Thank you,
get ready to set all is well.
Yes.
I need somebody to say to me, Bishop, all is well. As I go through things, I can see things are working for you because you know that God set high and look low.
Yes.
And he's bringing you up out the dunghill of dust and mess.
Thank
he bring you out of all this confusion, witchcraft, sickness, and all the things that's going on around the world.
Yes.
So God,
now, what I'm doing is bring you out of this white magic that's been going on throughout the years. What God is doing now is bringing you up, and he's showing you that the ancestors are showing you about the storms and the flood. You and come back to what's been happening. So a lot's been going on across the world, and it's fire everywhere. And what I'm saying this morning, as you come on, you got to understand, Bishop, strayed away from your teaching. You're strayed away from those that build this country. This country was built by black folks. Black folks built this country. We made cotton king. And what we did, right here in slavery. What I'm saying this morning, as we were listening to the tape that what I had on at first, that we got to deal more with bringing each other together, stop the killing, save the babies. Why black the power of the white man to influence your mind, your soul, your children, your family. That's what's making us kill each other. Until we sit back and make a deep and look at our education and look at where we at and where we going. So right now, there's a lot of negativity out there that destroy the black man, destroy the black woman. They've been trying to destroy the black man. 90% in jail right now, political prisoners. and what we're running into now, where we go from here. We can't go and to save us because they can't save themselves. The only thing for somebody to save this country is back then. They come together in prayer. The storm, the flood to stop. The ancestor will come and make peace. But if you don't make no peace with yourself, you can't make peace with people that's not in the. So we're trying to make peace with our enemy. You cannot make peace with your enemy. You cannot make peace with a negative energy. And one of the things we say is know yourself, be yourself, and ask yourself. We know ourselves. We have to know ourselves. And if we know ourselves, we can be ourselves and act ourselves. But we've been so misled, misguided, misdirected, we don't know it. So we got to start. Set out in a meditation situation to bring our young folks together, to bring our teens together, because the system said, get rid of the singles, get rid of the young people. Ain't nobody left in order to keep things rolling. So what we have to turn and make a different way of happening. Now, this is Sunday morning with the bishop, and what I'm saying to you, your kinfolks that being killed, and you know, that's my brother, and all the killing that's going on. Right now, I looked at the news, they had 5 shooting here in Chicago, another 5 in about 10 back. Now, that's about? That's about magic. That's about trying to be something you need. You know, that's part of what's going on in our schools. They don't want you to educate these kids. They want you to get these kids ready for prison. Mm-hmm. They don't really want to educate you. For you, the system, they're going to get rid of them because they don't want the kids to know that they are great. They don't want them to know that when Muhammad Ali said, I'm great, they didn't want him to say that, but he was saying, I'm great. I'm a great man. Young people are great. They understand that they are able to go to the moon. They done been to the moon. They're able to deal with algebra and all the calculus and all that. So they don't want them to be able to do all that. So you got young folks who don't know that young folks that are gifted from the Almighty. And when you tell them that, they've been taught. Like you talk to the first young person, they're going to say, I can't do it. Why? Because you can't do it. You know, this going on with you, all the stuff that we are in right now, it already belongs to you. This is your house. This is your country. This is your world. But if you come to the oneness of claiming, I'm one with God. I'm one with the universe. And you'll say, if I'm one with God, I'm God. By me being God. So it's important this morning for you to look at yourself in a different way. It's important for you to say, I know my problem. The problem is I have not said I'm God. I have not spoken to the wind. I've not looked to the water. When I begin to speak to things, I can make things happen. And so many of us, we run to church every Sunday. We run to mass, run to Islam, run to all of that. But when we come home, we have the same problem. And what we have the same problem over and over and over is not that we are not taking care of the teaching, and the teaching that we're doing is not helping us because we go into a different.
So, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
From this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised.
Amen.
The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is likened unto the Lord, our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth? He praises, he raises up the poor out of the dust, and lifts the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house.
For the last few days,
Now, one of the things is that to the ministry, have you made up your mind that you're going to do something different this year than you did last year? Have you made up your mind you're going to be more, you claiming the house is already planned? I'm going to pray this morning for those that need to be healed, those that are on dope, alcohol, drugs, those that are camped out and don't know why, those that have lost loved ones, no a mother, a sister, a brother, a cousin. You're depressed because you lost a husband, you lost a wife, you lost a son, you lost a son, cannot heal. I come to tell you this morning, all is well. Get ready for overflow. I was talking to Mother, who was a tent set up over the south, and I bring people back to God. Bring the word back to God. We have strayed away from God, doing our own thing. We must repent. Call by the name of somebody to pray. I will heal the land. God wants to heal the land. And if he heals the land, you stay on the land. You can get healed. You can get healed this morning. If you made an effort to ask for healing, you can get healed this morning. If you made an effort to ask God to give you the knowledge and the wisdom that you need to the next level. Those that are trying to go to the next level and don't know how to get there. Those praying for, how do I make it to the next level, Bishop, when so much. The storms and the floods, the tornadoes and the earthquakes gonna come. But God remains. There's no change in God. The ways the things that the body unlocked. God's gonna continue to bless you, man. Woman, God gonna continue to bless you if you call out on his name. If you just say, Lord, help, that's all you have to say. Lord, help is on the way. It's coming from east, north, and south. It's coming with the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. So whatever you need, God got what you need. God wants to give it to you. Quick, fast, and in a hurry. I see God blessing you. I want to tell you, somebody was called for something to heal. healed. They could raise their left arm up. I'm praying for somebody been having problems with their eyes. I'm praying this morning somebody been having problems with their knees and have been having a heart problem. Heal them for that man, for that woman. As we speak the word, I see that new house for that woman. I see that breakthrough right now. I see that woman's son coming out of jail. I'm seeing right now that man, and I see God bringing his family together, body, man, mind, soul, and spirit. As I see God bringing his family together.
For the last few days, several people.
I see God bringing that family back together that have been broke up. I see God bringing it back where it ought to be. And I want to tell you this morning, if God brings that family together, God opened up for you. And that door he opened up for you is a door that's been closed. He's going to open up for you right now. Body, mind, soul, and spirit. I was talking to the tent all over the land. I see people coming from far and near. They're coming for the word, coming for healing. They're coming to walk with God. I don't know what you want to have. Just the word of God. What you do, you trust God for your business, but you should be trusting God, body, mind, soul, and spirit. And as you trust God, God will open up every door that has been closed. I'm talking to you. I want you to know that God got the gate open up for you. One lady asked me, said, Bishop, will I ever get healed? I told her, you're already healed, but you got to claim it. If you don't claim it, if God said you heal, you heal. If God said you deliver, you deliver. And some of you, any time you're caught up in what somebody else doing. I'm praying for some man was walking and fell dead. If you don't have to go out, don't go out. Stay in. And let God for you. And as you open, God will open that door for you, he's going to give you a new revelation.
To invest it and to bring back dividends for God, he buried it in the ground, so to speak, of indifference. And he did not anticipate his tragedy in, however, because the Lord of those talents came back at an unsuspected time. The danger of it all is that you are given the control and the management of this investment that God has made in you.
Yes.
And that you are left on your own. God doesn't stand around and punch you. That is, literally, he doesn't to see what you're doing and how you're going to do. He merely lets you know that you are responsible for my investment.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
And that I'm holding you accountable.
Yes.
And that one day I will be back.
Yes,
and you must report to me.
Yes.
For everything that you've done.
Yes.
And how you have invested what I have given you.
Yes,
and I said the danger of it is you own your own. You're on your own. But, you know, sometimes some people
cannot stand to be on their own. Some people cannot stand responsibility. Some people cannot make good managers, it appears. Some folk are waiting for the first opportunity. As soon as the boss takes his eye off them, they are searching. Hiding. Marking time. But that is dangerous. Because the boss of your life, the giver of your life, the investor that has invested in you, not what you should do, and know what he has made you capable of doing. Pray with me if you please. You talking about a time clock. He has put one within all of us. He know when you punch in and when you punch out. He know whether you are late or on time. Pray with me, there's no escape. And if you are lying down on the job, if you haven't punched in for the last year or so, if you haven't reported for duty for the last month or so, he know it tonight. You can't escape.
The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy from these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The prophet and the valley of dry bones. Among those who were carried away was a young man by the name of Ezekiel, who had obviously been trained to be a priest. When we study his minute descriptions of the temple order and of the temple liturgy, when we read of his intimate knowledge of things directly or indirectly concerned with Judaism, we must conclude that he had formal training as a priest. But along with the vision that Ezekiel reveals here, along with others that he records in his book, one thing he wanted to convince Israel of, that her God had not fallen. Yes. And her God was not dead. Yes. He wanted Israel to understand that her God, as he depicts in the vision where he saw the vague outline of a man sitting upon a chariot throne, engulfed in a cloud, and with priestly functionaries going in and coming out from the mercy seat. He was saying, we told him about wheels that he saw in the middle of wheels, and that these wheels were guarded by angels, and that these wheels had eyes, and that these wheels did not deviate from their course. He was telling Israel first about the overruling providence and power of God, and about Israel was a part of God's eternal plans and purposes. While Israel was one wheel, ever moving, And above that was another wheel. That was the Babylonian wheel. It was moving. And that above that was another wheel, which was God's universal wheel. And God's universal plan. And all of these wheels were moving. Because all of God's plans are always moving. Maybe you think you have stopped them. Maybe you think you have blocked them. Maybe you can't see the movement. But God's plans never stand still. You can't bother them and you can't stop them. For the writer here tells us that angels were in God.
Pray with me, please.
So, to Israel, we see in this vision, Babylon was a desolate place. Babylon represented a valley to Israel. A valley of depravity. A valley of disfranchisement. A valley of hopelessness. A valley of dry bones. A valley of lifelessness. In one of the great cities of the ancient time, Babylon to Israel was a valley. Someone might marvel, if Babylon was a great city, how could it be regarded by the Israelites as a valley?
The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, Prophesy from these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The prophet and the valley of dry bones. Among those who were carried away was a young man by the name of Ezekiel, who had obviously been trained to be a priest. When we study his minute descriptions of the temple order and of the temple liturgy, when we read of his intimate knowledge of things directly or indirectly concerned with Judaism, we must conclude that he had formal training as a priest. But along with the vision that Ezekiel reveals here, along with others that he records in his book, one thing he wanted to convince Israel of, that her God had not fallen. And her God was not dead. He wanted Israel to understand that her God, as he depicts in the vision where he saw the vague outline of a man sitting upon a chariot throne, engulfed in a cloud, and with priestly functionaries going in and coming out from the mercy seat. He was saying, when he told him about wheels that he saw in the middle of wheels, and that these wheels were guarded by angels, and that these wheels had eyes, and that these wheels did not deviate from their course. He was telling Israel first about the overruling providence and power of God, and about Israel
was a part of God's eternal plans and purposes.
Yes.
While Israel was one field,
yes,
ever moving.
Yes.
And above that was another wheel.
Yes.
That was the Babylonian wheel.
Yes.
It was moving.
Yes.
And that above that was another wheel.
Yes.
Which was God's universal wheel.
Yes.
And God's universal plan.
Yes.
And all of these wheels were moving.
Yes.
Because all of God's plans are always moving.
Yes.
Maybe you think you have stopped him. Maybe you think you have blocked him. Maybe you can't see the movement. But God's plans never stand still. You can't bother them and you can't stop them. For the writer here tells us that angels were on guard. Say that with me, please. So, to Israel, we see in this vision, Babylon was a desolate place. Babylon represented a valley to Israel. A valley of depravity. A valley of disfranchisement. A valley of hopelessness. A valley of dry bones. A valley of lifelessness. In one of the great cities of the ancient time, Babylon to Israel was a valley. Someone might marvel, if Babylon was a great city, how could it be regarded by the Israelites as a valley? Well, you see, a city may be one thing to one people, or a country may mean one thing to one people and altogether another thing to another people. When the white Europeans came to this country, embarked upon these shores, America to them was a land of promise, was a mountaintop of possibility, was a mountaintop of adventure. But to the Negro, when he embarked upon these shores, America to him was a valley. A valley of slavehood. A valley of slavery and oppression. A valley of sorrow. So that often we have to say, will it be a day? I'm going to eat at the feast and pray. One of these days, the chariot of God will swing low. I wish I had somebody here praying with me. So that Babylon to Israel was a place of hopelessness. It was a valley of dry bones. A valley of dry bones. Well, the prophet tells us. And considering a prophet, what is a prophet anyway? Since the prophet was God's representative, God's ambassador, God's watchman there in Babylon. You know, and the word prophet can be interchanged with the word preacher. For a prophet is a preacher. And a preacher ought to be a prophet. Not a prophet such as we are told and talk about sometimes. Not a funny person. Not somebody with their head tied up or selling luck or anything like that. Not that kind of prophet. But I mean a real prophet. A prophet called of God. A prophet born of God. A prophet sent from God. A prophet inspired of God. But a prophet is one who knows the past, who understands the present, the past.
Yes.
And his insight of the present.
Yes.
He's able to predict the future.
Yes.
A prophet is one who has sight, insight, and foresight.
Yes.
With sight, he looks on things.
Yes.
With insight, he looks into things.
Yes.
With foresight, he looked beyond things.
Yes.
Such a man was Ezekiel.
Yes.
And he uses the symbol of a valley,
yes,
to describe Israel's Babylonian situation.
Yes.
The symbol of a valley.
Yes.
But you see, a valley suggests a low place,
yes,
between mountains.
Yes.
And to Israel, there were obstructing mountains,
yes,
surrounding her.
Yes.
Her situation in Babylon.
Yes.
Economic mountains.
Yes.
Social and political mountains.
Yes.
Religious mountains.
Yes.
Encircled and enclosed her in.
Yes.
And she was down there in the stagnant air,
yes,
of a valley,
yes,
in Babylon. Surata, he said that he was in the spirit.
Yes.
And that gives validity to it, you know.
Yes.
People speak a little bit about the spirit now.
Yes.
But I'm afraid that the church is losing,
yes,
a great deal of its, yes, spiritual consciousness.
Yes.
It wasn't unusual for folk to say when I was growing up as a boy, the spirit told me,
yes,
to do certain things.
Yes.
Or I was led by the spirit,
yes,
to do certain things.
Yes.
So that this prophet was a spiritual mind.
Yes.
A spirit filled,
yes,
God conscious prophet.
Yes.
And he said, while being in the spirit,
uh-huh,
the Lord led him out,
yes,
to the valley,
yes,
and then led him to the midst of the valley,
yes,
and sat him down in the midst of it.
Yes.
What he was really saying, that God led him,
yes,
to the heart of Israel's problem.
Yes.
And in the situation,
yes,
in Babylon,
yes,
that's what he was saying. God took him in a thorough-doing survey,
yes,
in a thorough-doing analysis,
yes,
and understanding of Israel's Babylonian situation.
Yes.
And when the Lord had led him to the heart of Israel's problem,
yes,
set him down there. Then for fear that we're out on the periphery of things,
yes,
he missed something.
Yes.
Then the Lord led him round and about the valley.
Yes.
Or took him and encompassed the valley.
Yes.
Circled it on all sides.
Yes.
That he might not miss the remotest problem,
yes,
of Israel's situation.
Yes.
And when the survey was far and complete,
yes,
the Lord called the question to him.
Yes.
Yes. Son of man, son of man,
yes,
I wish you could hear me.
Yes.
Can these bones live?
Yes.
That son of man seems to be reminiscent,
yes,
a man's limitation.
Yes.
Women listen to man's finiteness.
Yes.
Man's humanity.
Yes.
Son of man.
Yes.
Son of man, you are a scholar.
Yes.
You are an educator.
Yes.
Son of man, you are a scientist.
Yes.
Can be bones.
Yes.
Son of man, you are an engineer.
Yes.
Can these bones live?
Yes.
Son of man, you are a heart specialist.
Yes.
Son of man, you are a geologist.
Yes.
You are a botanist.
Yes.
You are a specialist.
Yes.
in various phases of the human body. You are a psychologist and psychiatrist. You know all about drives and reactions and responses and tendencies.